right? It's something that his dad handed to him. It's something that he has security in. And so if he has land, he can provide for his family. He can provide for his kids. And this land also is something that he can use in the future to bargain or get money, whatever. So this land to him is very important. It is a possession that he can't just give up, right? It's something that offers him security. And all of us, I think if we were put in his position, we would do the same, right? Like, I'm not going to give up my house, my car, my career, all this stuff to some stranger or a foreigner and being able to lose it at some point. So I don't want to give up these things. And so we can understand why this guy doesn't want to give up his possessions. But here's the deal. Possessions can be lost at the blink of an eye, right? We think we can hold on to them, but the reality is, it's like this. And this is the crazy thing. All of us know that whatever possessions we accumulate can easily be lost. But the crazy thing is, we invest heavily, almost all our time, our resources, our effort goes into investing and accumulating possessions, fully knowing that any point in time, they can be lost. And let me just give a couple of examples. This stuff happens in our church. A while ago, we had a family that went on a summer vacation, and they came back to their entire house flooded with water. They just went for a couple days. It was a summer vacation. They came back, and the entire house was damaged beyond repair. They had to gut the whole house to repair it. And so they stayed in an apartment for, I think, like 6 to 9 months. So overnight, their property was destroyed. We have folks in our congregation who have been in great careers. Overnight, the company decides to do a cut. And so the next day they show up, they don't have a job anymore, right? But they've invested so much in their career, spending time day and night working there, slaving over it. But it's gone in a matter of minutes, hours, days. And we protect our health, right? That's the other thing that we kind of invest a whole lot on to protect. I don't know if you guys can hear that. I'm talking funny, but I've got stitches in my mouth right now. I had a dental surgery about 3 weeks back, and it was the most traumatic experience I've ever had. But that wasn't the worst trauma. The worst trauma is not being able to eat afterwards. So I've been literally eating baby food for the last 2 weeks. I want to eat a huge piece of steak right now and just like chew on it, but I can't. And so literally overnight, I lost the ability to just eat normal food. I've just been eating rice and tofu. That's like my life for the last 3 weeks. And it's gonna go on for another 3 more weeks. And my dad, he was a completely able and body man, but he had a stroke one night, and the next morning when he woke up, half his body was paralyzed, and he lived that way for 5 years till his death. And so the whole idea here is that we invest a ton of things, right? Like this lady. We're riding on our tiny little bike, and we just start piling on possessions after possessions after possessions. And if you go to China or Asia, you're going to see this. It's like crazy. You look at this woman, and you're like, what are you thinking? Right? If there's this huge wind that blows, or they hit a hole on the road, everything is just going to fall apart. And that describes our life. We start piling on all these things. We invest so much in these things. And anything can happen in our life, literally at any moment, and we lose every single thing. And that's the crazy thing that we do, is we invest heavily. We spend so much time and effort trying to accumulate these things, fully realizing that we have no control over it. They're going to be gone at any time. And so God knows, you know, God knows that we have this worry, right? It's a fear. Because if we don't have these things, we don't feel secure. If we don't have these things, we worry. If we don't have these things, we feel like we haven't accumulated enough or measured up to society's kind of standards. And I can understand that. I'm in the same position. I know how you guys feel. And so let me use God's word to comfort us? This is what he says. In 1 John 2:15 to 17, he says this. He says, "Don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." And this is key. "The world and its desire pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." So the first thing God wants us to see very clearly is that stuff that we just pile on like this is going to pass away. So you can invest your whole life in it. You can't bring it with you anywhere, really. It just passes away. But God still knows that we worry about it, right? And so he tells us this other thing in Matthew 6, 25 to 27. Matthew 6, 25 to 27. He says this, because he knows we're going to worry. We're going to be like that garden redeemer. We don't want to lose stuff. God says this, Matthew 6, 25 to 27. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them." And this is key. "Are you not much more valuable than them? Can you, any one of you, add a single hour to your life by worrying?" So God is saying, I got your back. All right. I know you worry about these things. I know you spend a ton of time trying to invest in possessions. I know you worry about these things. But God tells us he's got our back, right? He takes care of everything. And he says, you are more valuable than any single thing that he has created. People are first on God's mind. And he says, I got your back. So don't worry about collecting possessions, things of the world. Don't worry about that. Then this is where God challenges and he starts shifting our mind, all right? He eases our worry. He tells us don't invest in things that can be lost. Then he throws this at us. In Matthew 16, 26, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in for exchange for their soul?" Right? He throws that out there and he says, you know what? Even if you have so much money that you own every single thing that you can possess in this world, health, wealth, whatever, what good is that if you lose the person, the soul of the person? So God throws that out there and say, you want to know what's priceless? The soul, a person's soul. You can't buy that. You can buy every single thing in the world, but not a person's soul. And so God tossed that out there and say, here's what's important. A person is important, not possession. And so he says this. He says, invest in people who have eternal souls. And he calls us to do the same. Boaz knows this, right? We go back to Ruth. Boaz, if we read through the passage again, at not a single point did Boaz talk about the land. The other guy talked about the land a whole lot because he cared about the possession of the land. But Boaz didn't. His whole focus was on Ruth, the person. And when we look at the blessings of the elders, when they were giving blessing after the deal that went on, they didn't talk about the land either. They didn't say, oh, may the land that Boaz just purchased be fruitful and productive, and may they have a ton of food and a lot of money. No, their blessing was very people-focused. So I'm going to read the blessings that the elders said after the deal kind of went on. This was the blessing they said, and it's very people-focused. It says, may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together build out the family of Israel. So the first blessing they said is, Boaz, when Ruth comes into your family and you become a union, may the amount of kids that you guys have be like Rachel and Leah. And we know Rachel and Leah, they were sort of the mother of Israel, right? Between them, they made up the 12 tribes of Israelites, and that's like the whole history of the Jewish people. And so the first blessing they said is, may you have a ton of kids, like Rachel and Leah. Then they give another blessing. They said, may you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And so they say, Boaz and Ruth, may you, your family, your children be famous across everywhere. And the third blessing they gave is they said, may this offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman be like Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah. And so this whole story about Perez and Tamar is, Tamar was like Ruth. She was a foreigner. She was childless. Okay, just like Ruth. But through her came the mighty tribe of Judah. And so they're basically saying, may your family be mighty and powerful. And so their blessing were all people-focused. At none of this point was the land mentioned, and none of this point were any possession mentioned. And we think about Jesus Christ. Not only did Jesus tell us this is important, he demonstrated this in his life, right? And I'm going to read this passage where Jesus doesn't just say stuff, but he shows us through his life that this really matters, and this is the priority. In 1 John 3:16, he says this, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So the first thing Jesus said that he actually did is he laid out his life. If we go back in history, why do we care about possessions? Why do we worry? Why are we insecure? Why do we feel like we have to accumulate all these things so that people think we're successful? It's because we live in a broken world. When God first created the world, it was awesome, it was perfect. But because of Adam and Eve's sin, all this mess up chaos came into the world, especially death, right? So the world is messed up, we know that. And so Christ comes and he says, I'm going to fix that. I'm going to reconcile that because people's souls are important. He tells us in 1 John 3:16, he gave his life up for that. And so when Jesus gave his life, and he died for that, and he was resurrected, all these brokenness in the world was fixed through his death and resurrection. And then Christ turns it around, and he's like, yes, people are important, and here's what I want you to do, every single one of you. He says, because he laid down his life, then we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So if you look at every single one of them, of people sitting here right now, that person's life matters more than your life. That's the radical thought and challenge that God gives us. Number one, not only are possessions not important, number two, your own life isn't important. The life of someone else matters more than yours. That's why you can give up your life for that other person, because their life matters more than yours. That's the radical challenge that God calls every single Christian. And he demonstrated it himself through the life of Jesus Christ. So you look at anyone right here, their life matters more than yours. That's the biblical view. So when we look at scripture and we ask the question, do people matter more or possession matter more? The answer always is people, never possessions. So this leaves us with a lot to chew on, right? How do we make life choices? What kind of stuff do we invest in? What kind of lifestyle do we live? It reflects where we put our priorities. Is it possessions or is it people? Knowing very well that God tells us to invest in people and not in possessions. So here are two things that I want us to reflect on. The first one is, in your bulletin, you should have this. This is a handout. We don't celebrate Lent in this church, but Lent is 40 days leading up to Easter. It's normally a Catholic tradition where it's a time of reflection and repentance. And so they would give up things for 40 days. Because when they give something up, they fill that up with God, right? So for example, if you love chocolate a whole lot, then you give up chocolate for 40 days. And whenever you have that urge to eat chocolate, you spend time in prayer, you think about God, and that's kind of the whole idea. But I want to challenge us to do something else. So instead of giving up something, try giving to someone. So for the next 30 days leading up to Easter, have one person or one family in your mind that you are going to deliberately invest in. Okay, it doesn't have to be someone that's in trouble. If you want to know who's in trouble and who needs help, come to me. I know a ton of them, especially people in church. But here's the thing. Just think of someone that you want to invest in. And I'm going to challenge you, don't make it someone from church. Make it someone from outside, at work, in your clubs, in your society, someone especially who do not know Jesus Christ, because their soul matters more than us spending time doing our stuff. So that's the first challenge. And the second thing is, I want to invite Matthew and Sarah and baby Adeline up. This young couple here demonstrates this principle to the extreme, because not only have they given up possessions, you know, they left a comfortable life in US, but they are investing in people in Taiwan. And so very recently they have moved to Taiwan, and there they're investing in the life of the young people in northwest Taiwan to bring the good news of Jesus to them. And to say, you know, possessions is awesome, but people are more important. And so they've oriented their lives and reoriented their lives to make people their first priority. So I'm going to invite Matthew and Sarah up so that they can share with us how God is working in their lives and how principles like this aren't conceptual. All of us ought to be living lives like that. Come on. Yeah.